I can mow it twice as fast and have time to play with my kids, but that costs money.
Yep.
So when is the juice worth the squeeze?
Ladies and gentlemen, farmers, ranchers, and distinguished guests, thank you for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast, where we discuss the latest ideas, methods, trends, and techniques available to help your farm achieve higher levels of farm profitability. The Farm for Profit podcast is co-hosted by Tanner Winterhoff, the Iowa Bankerman, and David Whitaker, the Iowa Land Guy, where in tandem, they will share their ideas and advice from industry experts. Thank you again for listening to the Farm for Profit podcast. Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long. And now, here's Tanner and David.
Hey, listeners, welcome back to the Farm for Profit podcast. This is Tanner Winterhoff.
And this is David Whitaker.
Thank you so much for joining us. This is a profit episode, so we will have a What's Working in Ag segment coming right up and a general topic for today. Next week or the next episode in the queue is our Farm for Fun show. So two different variants. So if you're just joining us, wanted to get that out there. But really just thank you for listening.
And Tanner, as always, want to remind listeners to share your ideas. Go to Farm for Profit LLC and email us. It's farmforprofit4@gmail.com. Of course, check out all our social media profiles out there. It'll be Farm4Profit. And Tanner, now onto our listener review brought to you by Outback Wraps.
Yeah, our listener review today is Aaron Yeagy, and he left this on Twitter. He said, love you guys' content. Keep up the great work. So that's at Aaron Yeagy on Twitter. So we love getting reviews in all different forms and fashions,
Dave. And Tanner, we want to thank Outback Wraps definitely for bringing that review to us. And remember, they got that new 80-foot deal, where I think they call it the snake. It is a longer version of what they had before that you can cut to size. It helps you easily connect equipment with any hydraulic hose.
And I can't wait to learn more about that, Dave, because our What's Working in Ag segment today features another Dave. So, Dave, why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
G'day, guys. I'm Dave Head. I'm the owner of Walkabout Mother Bins and also the inventor of Outback Wrap.
That is awesome. If you can't tell, listeners, we got a little bit of an accent here, which is sweet. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. So where are you originally from?
So I grew up in Australia on a wheat farm in Australia. Met a guy from South Dakota in a pub and came over and worked for him in 2003 and made such great friends over here. I continued to come back and water ski and golf and then eventually met a girl and that was the end of me.
Oh, the girl made you stay.
Yeah, the girl made me stay. So
It's
always a girl.
The girl. And you're in South Dakota, is that right?
I'm in Forkton, South Dakota. That's correct.
There you go.
So we had Dave on almost a year ago exactly. So if you guys didn't catch that episode, go check it out. But we're here to catch up and see what has happened in the last year. So how have things been on the mother bin side?
It's been crazy on both fronts, guys. We've had the absolute best years we've had for both businesses. The mother bin side, we've actually sold more than we've produced this year. We've taken pre-orders. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. We've sold them all the way from Oregon down to Louisiana.
Wow. Okay, remind our listeners what a mother bin is.
So a mother bin is portable grain storage. It's 4,000 bushels of portable grain storage. It's in field. So the idea is it reduces your bottleneck between your grain cart and your trucks and enables you to have less trucks and less labor and ensures that your combine never stops.
And Dave, I know there's a ton of people that ask you this question all the time, because I was thinking the same thing. As big as this thing is, does it not get stuck in the field? And what's your answer for that? I know you have an answer for that.
Yeah, the answer for that is it only sits on the end of the field. So in a way, it actually helps you use a smaller grain cart because it can reduce your soil compaction. You're not carting around or you're not trying to gain that capacity by massive grain carts, massive tractors driving around. So it sits on the end of the field. Your grain cart dumps into it. Auger wagon, haul out bin, depending on where you grew up. But then the trucks load out of it. And you can load a truck out of it in about 2 minutes. It does up to 900 bushels a minute.
And the reason we have you on here, of course, is our What's Working in Ag section is we want to promote, like coffee shop talk, anything that's working for people. Dave was telling me a story earlier that this is working for one of his clients because, of course, what makes it work is it takes another person maybe out of production or takes your whole harvest production down in days. And Tanner, you're the banker. You're going to have analytics of how much money is spent every day that we spend harvesting. If we could reduce 6-10 days out of that by making it go faster, we, of course, save money. So what's working? Do you have any stories of that it's working for one of your clients?
Yeah, we have a couple amazing stories. And one thing I want to point out is a lot of people, because it's so big, think it's for these massive farmers. But generally, it actually suits the middle-sized farmer really well, those guys that struggle to get labor. A guy can do a return on investment on it. Just this week, we had a gentleman buy a bin. He did the return on investment, and he saved 6 days off his harvest, which was 10 grand a day.
Wow. So my in-laws operation, we could have used one of these during bean harvest. And I know people are thinking corn, that's where all the volume is. But for us, we had non-GMO beans, which meant we had to deliver to a further delivery point. Our elevator was 45 minutes away. So for us, that would have been great to keep the combine running. And then that way the truckers could have kept up on their longer routes. Because, you know, sometimes you can't get to the beans and get started right away, and you get done a little bit earlier. So instead of only having to wait on the capacity of your grain cart, now you'd have 4,000 bushels of more productivity. I could have seen that paying off for us here.
And if you listeners haven't seen the mother bin,
oh yeah,
you need to see it. How big is the auger on that? It was so big, I can't even remember.
So it's a 22-inch auger, yep. But we're a 20-inch belly auger. The flow gates are split front and rear, so you can actually blend grain with it as well. So,
oh, that would have been great for beans too.
That would have been great for beans.
You got some that are 16%, and some that by the end of the day you're down to 13. That would have been great. That's fantastic. But like you said in your introduction, you're not only walkabout mother bins. You also have your invention, the Outback Wraps.
Correct.
And you have done a lot since we talked last.
Oh, wow. Have we done a lot. So if you're not familiar with Outback Wrap, it's a hydraulic hose marker system. And all it is a polyethylene wrap that's laser etched, and it matches the ports on your tractors. You don't have to climb in and out of your tractor 50 times.
And you have different sizes. So you have down to the guy that just, I know I use them, Tanner, and I'm just small. I just put it on my hay mower, but it helps me indicate there, or even skid loader attachments. So you're a small hydraulic hose down to 3/8 possibly, all the way up to the big dogs. And what's your big size?
So our markers, actually, we've developed a wrap that will do 1/4 inch all the way to 1.5 inch with the same wrap.
Yep.
So we don't have different sizes in that anymore. Our larger hose tamer ones, which bundle hoses together, keep them out of the PTO, just tidy it up, make it nice between the machinery and the tractor, they'll do like 10 hoses.
Oh, wow. Okay. And Tanner, we had talked about this before. You know, we had had different ways of doing this, from ear tags to electrical tape to, you know, all that. But one of the things that these are color-coded, and Dave, if I remember right from a year ago, that the color, these are made from something that even if they get grease on them or what, they're not going to weather like our ear tags where we can't see what we wrote on it.
Yeah.
So that it's made of polyethylene, and that doesn't go brittle, it break, it has a high temperature resistant to grease, oil, all that crap that you get on it on the back of the tractor. And you can actually clean them with brake fluid. It's resistant to solvent and soaps. So the color's part of the molding process as well. So it's not on, it's not going to fade, it's not going to break like zip ties, cable ties, or ear tags.
Yeah. And we had a lot of fun with this last year. Like we mentioned during the introduction there, if you use the code FARM4PROFIT on their website, our listeners get 20% off. So that's how much support they're putting behind this podcast and wanting to give the value to you as a listener. But there's even more, because when I looked at your website in October, there was a coming soon category. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, that's right. And just a note on your Farm for Profit code, it's the biggest discount we offer to anybody.
We wouldn't want to give it to anybody else besides our listeners. That's right. That's best.
You guys are super special.
That's right. So, I love that.
So the new stuff we got coming, we actually have a hose boss, which is basically a 3-inch wrap, and you can do all your planter hoses. It comes in a 4-foot length. It's super heavy and durable, and you can bundle up to 20, 25 hoses with it. It's crazy.
Holy crap. And I would say that's extremely valuable, because I have had the privilege of helping hook up the planter every year, and it seems like before we had Outback Wraps, it never was right. The up was down, the down was up. Sometimes you couldn't even get it to fold because you had hoses that were not even to the same cylinder.
Yeah. Some of our biggest dealers are Precision Plant dealers. I can tell you that right now.
And you sell these in individual packages, so they can buy individual packages, but they can also buy like a bulk wrap, correct?
Yeah, so we have actual bulk wrap now in 3 sizes. You can wrap your whole planter if you want. It comes in 80-foot rolls. And the smaller stuff, you can wrap electrical cables and stuff running to your cab. If you want that separate, it also comes in four colors. And then we have a 3/4 inch. And again, this stuff expands out, so you can put multiple hoses in it. And then an 1 3/4 inch we have as well. So you can actually use it to protect or wrap hydraulic hoses or electrical cords or whatever you want, really.
So that 20% off is going to go a long ways, because we're doing this again strategically around the holiday season.
Yes.
And we know that farmers are some of the hardest people to shop for, but every farmer has something with hydraulic hoses on it. And I will tell you something, that just because it only has 2 or 4 hoses doesn't mean that they shouldn't have Outback wraps on them, because that's even annoying when you jump off the tractor and they're backwards. I hate it when it goes up when it should be going down.
I was
going
to say, even my hay rake, I put them on there with only 2 lines, but it sure works to know which one goes up and which one goes down, because I'm kind of particular on that. When I go forward, I want it to go down. When I go back, I want it to go up. And that's just the way it works. So it helps you even decipher which one theirs. Makes hooking up easy.
Yes.
Yeah. We do that by purpose. It actually give it the benefit of the safety item too, because if you are used to operating your equipment one way and someone else hooks it up and someone's under it, someone's around it.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it never happens, but it really helps too.
One step to keep it safer.
Yeah, that's right. You touched on our tagline there, which we like to have a little bit of fun at our company. Our office is attached to a pub, so we get some good lunchtime ideas sometimes.
well, that's the other thing. So knowing that we had connected with you last year, that wasn't the only interactions that we had, because you also supported our Travis Burkhart Foundation auction with
the mini mother bin, like the scale size, and it sold very well. Thanks for that donation.
We had a fabulous donation, but the coolest part is the gals that you have working for you.
Yes.
Are rock solid. Not only in response and ability to communicate on the podcast side, but your social media is lighting it up. If anybody that listens to us is on TikTok, which I know a lot of you are, go look them up, because they clearly have fun at what they're doing, because it shows through what they're putting out.
Cecilia with Outback Wrap and Crystal with Mother Bins, they're rock stars. I don't know what to tell you guys. They are so good at their jobs. I love working with them every day. They're amazing. So, and their ability to create stuff for social media that's fun and catchy is, it's just fun. And that's what our company is actually based on, 2 things. Our purpose is to make the lives of our customers better. And the other thing that's hanging in our office is, a day without laughter is a day wasted.
Nice. Right.
So, and it's actually a Charlie Chaplin quote, but we really try and enjoy what we're doing, and it's hard work sometimes, I'm not going to lie, but we have a lot of fun.
We need to hang those signs in the studio.
In the studio, yeah.
I do.
So just in case we need it, just in case, we normally ask all of our guests, now maybe not on a What's Working in Ag, but since you're in studio, I think it's applicable to ask you. We always ask everybody, what is the number one thing that the most successful people have in common?
You think
about
that
a little bit, but you're bringing it from different countries and et cetera. And then you own a business as well. You're successful yourself. Yep. So I'm waiting to hear that answer.
So listeners, outbackwrap.com. So it's singular, outbackwrap.com. That's where you can go. And then when you fill your shopping cart, put in that code FARM4PROFIT. That's the number 4. You guys all know this because you listen to us. You're going to get that giant 20% discount, Dave. So what do you say? What are the most successful people all have in common?
They love what they do.
Nailed it.
I love what they do, guys.
It shows right through, just like you. I mean, the enthusiasm here in the studio is not put on. You truly are passionate about what you guys have gone.
We love it. But with both products, we love getting reviews back from people that, oh, man, it just saved me so much time. You saved me so much money. Hey, we're here to help. But we actually won't sell, take a mother bin, for example. We won't sell it to people that it doesn't suit. We don't want that. And every single mother bin we've sold is still with its original owner.
That's cool. And
we've been going 6 years now.
So that is really cool.
Farmers I know want to test everything out. And as soon as they know it is, do you guys give a test on a mother bin? If there's a medium-sized farmer that's like, all right, these guys on the podcast are telling me I got to try this, but let's call Dave, let's give him a call. I've been looking at this thing. Is there a way for someone to test it or come to where you're at?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can reach out to Crystal. There's a couple things that happen. We have been testing up until this point, but our customers love it so much, we will give you as many of our customers' numbers. Nearly every single one of our customers is happy to talk to someone about it.
Oh, and then you go watch. Okay,
yep.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Yeah.
But we have done demos for people before, and we have set it up. I mean, we are selling out. right now, which is amazing. So
that's why the 20% discount is on the Outback wraps.
And not on the mother bin.
Not on the mother bin. Special note. Yeah,
that's cool. Dave, thanks for coming to Central Iowa. Hang out with us. You'll sit with us during one of our next shows. But thank you again. That was a fantastic What's Working in Ag segment. And now let's roll into our general topic for today. Listeners, I know that you've heard from our guest before. So our guest today for our general topic on time management and productivity is Naeem Zafar. So he's the CEO and co-founder of Telesense. He is a serial entrepreneur living in Silicon Valley, but the reason we have him on as a guest is he's built and established successful companies. And when you do that, you're a busy guy, Dave. So we are relying on his expertise of over 26 years in Silicon Valley. He's practically a native there, having founded and invested and advised over 30 companies. He also teaches a course on entrepreneurship at the University of California, Berkeley, and Northeastern University. So I think we've got the perfect guest today, Dave, to try and help our farmers be more productive.
You bet. And if you guys don't remember from our previous podcast, we talked about Telesense with a new product that he has out, Telesense.com. But today we're not talking about that. Today we're talking about time management and delegation. So Tanner, I'm going to argue that all farmers are entrepreneurs. They're small business owners, 2 to 3 to 25 employees, very small or what would be considered small businesses. And our time management, as the growing season shorter and weather affects what we're doing, this is huge.
Yeah. And I would say entrepreneurship by nature requires sacrifices both in personal and business life, be it sacrificing personal time to learn a new skill like podcasting, to help the business, or the willingness to terminate a friend that was not fit for said business. So we got a lot of tough decisions that suck from the time that you put into things. So hence, there is little to no willingness to be flexible enough to sacrifice. Starting a business should not be an option. That came from Kamyar Shah, I might have not said that correctly, part of the World Consulting Group, that states one of the first things for being productive and managing your time well is you have to be willing to sacrifice.
Well, welcome. Welcome, Naeem.
Yeah, good to be here, guys.
So we're going to pick your brain a little bit along what you've done to obviously be ultra productive. You don't get to build several companies and invest in 30 more by sitting on your hands, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely. You got to be, as you get older, you realize that runway is not infinite. Time is short. You better do something useful and productive before runway runs out.
So what comes to your mind first when we talk productivity? What first pops in there about making a person productive?
Well, I think there are two things. One is that you recognize that productivity is what's going to make you richer. And not talking about money, that too, but also in your relationships, in your life, in your satisfaction. So being efficient is a very important aspect how I run my life. I want to be efficient in everything I do so I can save time and use that to do more productive things in life. What else is there?
Yeah. And I kind of rolled right into that first one about having to sacrifice. So that kind of goes hand in hand. And I'm not talking sacrifice like you have to give up candy. You know, or you have to give up alcohol, or you have to give up these items. Now, a combination of healthy living, I would argue, probably helps with productivity. But the sacrifice comes in, okay, maybe I'm not sitting there scrolling through TikTok all night.
You know, I'm thinking of farming, Tanner, and just agriculture in general. And we're in the middle of harvest as we record this. And as we're doing that, I'm thinking of Telesense that our speaker talked about and that he's inventing, and how that might save people's time so they could be on vacation. I'm thinking about the bigger heads that we've talked about in previous podcasts, and how upgrading can be smarter, bolder, faster. Gotcha. We can do everything quicker. So although maybe, yes, it costs us more money, did we save time by going over more acres quicker so that we can go home and eat dinner with our kids, or so that we can also be more profitable because there's new technology?
Right.
I'm going to say farming probably already has a lot of technology in it that helps us be productive. Would you say the same?
I would agree. What about you, Naeem? Do you think technology has really aided the farmer on the productivity side?
I think it is just starting. It's starting to. The fact is, there's a lot more. There are other industries which technology is more deeply used, more efficiently used. Farmers have not been the leading adopter of new technology. They're skeptical by nature. They want to see it work first. So I think there's a lot more they can gain. You know, ask yourself, how many different software tools I use to make myself more efficient? And I use probably 12 tools to make myself efficient. So every month I'm asking myself, what can I do so I can reduce some time and be more efficient? For example, I like to watch TikTok too. Now I watch TikTok when I'm taking a morning walk.
Yep.
And I say,
yep,
10 minutes, I'm going to watch some TikTok. So, you know, it's not that I'm sacrificing. So the two points. One is the efficient use of technology, and we can talk about what tools are efficient. How do I run my life? The second thing is you have to be, talk about sacrifice. I'm more, maybe have less patience for people who are wasting my time. So some relationship which I'm not adding to my joy, I want to be able to terminate those or reduce those. And some friends call me up. They want to talk to me for this and that. You know, I pick and choose. Sometimes I say, look, guys, love to talk to you, but let's talk on the next weekend.
And Tanner and I have talked about that, the difference between important versus urgent, as I grow my business, of when do you prioritize wisely? And that's kind of what you're alluding to, is prioritizing what's important to you, correct?
Exactly. So some people will be leave you. Some people will be not be happy with you because you're not going to waste time yakking about something for 2 hours when it's really not adding to your life in any way. Either joy, it doesn't mean that you don't like to, you know, have a beer with a buddy and shoot breeze. But if this is joyful, the key phrase I use is effortless joy.
I like
effortless
it.
Effortless
joy. So what
you have to work harder to get joy at it, you know, that's the second priority. Effortless joy is what I'm saying.
I do like that. So you kind of alluded to some tools that have helped you be productive. I am curious. What do you use to help you increase your productivity?
Well, the one recent one, in the last maybe even 3 months I've done this, is a tool called Calendly.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I used to go back and forth like 6-7 emails. Hey, do you want to talk? Yeah, I'd love to meet you. Well, when are you open? Well, I'll be open Saturday and Monday. Well, what time? Each one of these are email. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, I can exchange 11 emails. Just pick a time and stick with it, would you?
Yeah.
Yep.
So now I can just send them a link, calendly.com/my name. They can see my calendar. They don't say how I'm meeting. They just see what's blocked, what's open. They pick a time. Now they can select, it's a Zoom meeting, it's a phone call, or it's a Teams meeting. That's it, I'm done. What used to take 7 emails and 2 conversations now takes 1 link.
Wouldn't that be great for the seed dealer? If you're the farmer running around in a combine and that seed dealer keeps calling you saying, hey, can I come ride? You just send them your Calendly link. And then that way they know, oh, I have to be there Tuesday at 2. That's the only opportunity I have. I think that's a tool we could put to use.
It'd be less swearing. The swear jars wouldn't fill up as much, and maybe you wouldn't get kicked off a farm.
I would always schedule it over lunch, so they had to bring me something to eat.
There you go.
I like that. That's perfect. Any other tools that you want to share quick?
Let's see. What other tools am I using actively? For just finding a good time for a bunch of friends to meet, I use Doodle.
Oh, yeah.
So Doodle.com.
Yep.
You know, 8 of you want to try to meet for beer. Well, like, who's available when? Oh, my wife is having a party. That used to take many conversations. In Doodle, I can send a link to everybody. I'm available these times. Everybody picks their time. 6 of out of 8 can meet at Friday at 2. Done.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to arrange those kind of conversations.
I didn't even think about that, Dave, as a tool, but I've used that. So having gone through Leadership Aims program, having gone through these trainings, you know, Iowa Banking School, there's a lot of peers that I like networking with. And we do use Doodle. It's the same thing. You have a class of 30. You're never going to get all 30 to show up, but you can pick, you know, at least find out when a majority can participate. That might actually be helpful because right now my family is going back and forth in text messages about when and where we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh.
So it could even be an aspect there.
See, I just started on my side, like I just made an appointment before we started this podcast, and I used to go back and forth a little bit more and say, well, what works for you, and what, and well, what then, what time, and it was 6 emails, as you were just saying. Now I just started telling people, similar to Calendly, is, hey, let's do Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And I set it up. I don't give them an option. It's this time. No more emails. Do you want in? Yes or no? Let's go.
Which isn't bad, because I would argue if you did that for me, my calendar is flexible enough to where I would probably make Tuesday at 6 o'clock work.
Yep.
Because you were so adamant. So I don't think that's a bad suggestion.
I was always waiting for the other person to fire first, and 6 emails later, I was like, all right, finally, I'll make the decision. Now I just say, screw it. I'll make the decision. This is what time we're meeting. Yes or no?
So Naeem, one of the things that I found on thehartford.com was this quote, that quality as job one. So the productive people that they were writing about, they wrote that the top performers consider quality as a priority over just simply getting things done. They aren't satisfied unless your clients and customers are going to be singing your praises or a job gets done correctly. Would you argue or agree with that phrase that having the quality job done is a part of being productive?
Absolutely. My mantra for my life is efficiency. So if you don't do a good job, you have to go back and do it twice. You've just been very inefficient. So it's consistent with that, absolutely. But of course, the cautionary trail is because you could overdo it to the point that you're for the last 1%, you're spending the extra 3 weeks when 99% of the people will be delighted. So you've got to be smart about this. Can be ADHD, but absolutely agree with you.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking about repairs, Dave. You obviously don't want to just cobble it together, depending upon where you're at in the season. But you also might not need to professionally weld it all the way back, all the gussets, all the everything.
Well, I was just working on my mower yesterday at Love Hochul Machine Supply where we live. And I went there and I'm buying parts and they're a little more expensive there. But the guy says to me, well, there's always time to do it over again. Never time to do it right the first time. Then he says, at least you're doing it right the first time. So exactly what you just said, old boy saying.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good add to being productive by any means. So with your entrepreneurs, they got to work twice as hard. They got to go twice as fast. So as young entrepreneur farmers, we have to, we don't have a big staff. So we're out there running the grain cart and having our buddies help with that, running the combine, doing all our own repairs. When do we prioritize, or what's your advice to prioritize the stuff that we know how to do? What should we outsource? When should we get help?
My philosophy is that on Sunday night, I make a list of what must be accomplished this week and by which day. Having that clarity, having about half an hour to yourself to think through simplifies 90% of the problems. Because on Sunday night, you can seek out to a buddy and say, hey, would you help me with this thing on Wednesday morning? I must accomplish this by Friday because other things won't get started if I don't do this. So this half an hour Sunday night, you know, has really been helpful. Then, you know, the thing is, for example, if you don't feed your mind, how are you going to improve? What books are you going to read? What podcasts are you going to listen to? So when I schedule that, when I'm going to drive, I have an hour and a half in the car, I'm going to schedule a book or a podcast to listen to. Are you on the tractor? Same thing. So, you know, this is all little decision, but they really add up.
You know, I didn't realize I was doing this until you just brought it up, but I do it to mentally disengage each night. So I have business card sized papers and I write down the three, four, five things that I need to do first thing when I get to the office. It helps me stop worrying about them before I fall asleep. But now that you just brought that up, you're right. It kind of helps me eliminate distractions in the morning. I get there and I know, oh, these are the first things I'm going to work on. I determined last night that these were important. And very rarely will something hit overnight that outweighs that, Dave.
I agree 100%. When I was building houses, each step determines what your next step, and you got to think 40 steps ahead, because if we don't put in the water lines now, then the kitchen sink isn't going to work 40 steps down the road. But then you think, well, wait a minute, are they going to be in the way of where the drain is? So when I was building houses, every night I would think about everything the next day or the next week that I have to do. I think it's a great suggestion. I hadn't thought about it for farming, though. Yeah. I hadn't thought like, all right, we got to get this grain. Look at the weather. Nope, we should do beans. Even Growing Corn said this on one of his TikTok. We decided to do corn because we saw the weather was going to be bad and yep. We knew we were going this direction. I think a lot of farmers might be doing that and just not realizing it. Yeah. So
the other thing that I came across, Naeem, in my research for this topic and trying to become better personally is there's a lot of benefits from managing your time wisely. So I'm going to list four of these that I came across. So one is stress relief. Two is it provides more time for something else, which I think alludes to number three is it provides more opportunities for you. And then fourthly is we like gratification. We like that whether it's instant or long-term, this provides you the ability to realize some of these goals that you've set for yourself. So what do you think about the first one, Naeem, about it being a stress relief? Or the people that have productivity under control, do you feel like they carry less stress?
Absolutely. This is a very, very important point. So, you know, what you said about going to sleep, sometimes I cannot go to sleep because I haven't finished reading my emails for the day. So just simply looking at them, getting to zero. My goal is to get to zero unread email by the end of the night. So making a list of things which I'm going to do, a to-do list, takes the stress off. Because now it's on a piece of paper. I know I'm going to get them done. So I'm not worrying about them. It makes me sleep easier. So I totally agree with that.
You know, Dave and I had a conversation. You know, obviously we talk more than just on this podcast, but we were talking about that mower project that he had. And sometimes it's nice to have a hobby to help with this stress relief, but you don't have more time, hence number two,
yep,
to do your hobby unless you're extremely productive at your day job, your work.
Yep. I don't know if this is a good one or a bad one, but it might be either way. We'll see what our comments are on this. When you're building houses, so a long time ago, I used to do construction. And when I did, all the materials cost the same money for all the contractors, very similar unless you buy really, really in bulk, but pretty much the same cost. The only way you make more money is go faster. And so you go faster, but you don't want to go too fast that you don't get good quality out of that. But I had a guy tell me once, I said, how do you get this done, or how do you set a goal? And he says, well, the inspector's coming at noon and we haven't started yet and we got to be done. So he would set a goal that was just a little bit almost unobtainable, like right at the edge of unobtainable, but we always got it done. And Mel was a concrete contractor I had. He says, concrete's coming in 5. And I'm thinking, we only have half the forms up yet. There is no way that we're going to have. And every time we got it done and the concrete was pouring in and we got it done because we set our goal almost unobtainable, but it was a really, you know, lofty goal to get there. But by golly, we got it done every time. So I'm going to be a goal setter, I guess, argument here to this conversation.
Well, I like that. And it just kind of made me reflect on something else that I do. And Naeem, you might contribute on this after I mention it. So I actually feel like at the bank, I am more productive spring and fall. And the reason I say that is I never seem to fall behind on the work that needs to be done, but yet I am still able to put hundreds of hours into the field. So I accomplish before noon what probably would take a regular day because I know I have another task that I need to get to. So maybe your unrealistic deadlines is something that is a real key. And that's what I'm doing to myself in the fall of, okay, I know the semi is going to be loaded at 11, so I have to have my bank stuff done by 11. What do you think, Naeem?
I think you guys are onto something. It is leader's job is to articulate clear and unambiguous objectives and goals and deadlines. People will jump if they know how high. But if you never specify how high, they're like, I don't know, I'm trying. So this is exactly right. So this is the best, if you're leading a company, leading a firm, leading a family, having a clear and ambiguous goals articulated helps people step up to it. People want to do a good job. People want to have a sense of accomplishment. So give them an opportunity to do so.
And I think that goes back to number one thing that probably all jobs could do better is communicate, Tanner. So just what he was saying, if we have a goal and we're getting this 100 acres harvested today and it's all going to be in the grain bin and then I'm buying dinner for everybody when it's done and we're all going to have a beer, I think that that communication to everybody to have a common goal, I think that's going to be a help. If you're listening, I think there's my advice to you.
Well, I like that because I do think productivity from the hired help,
yep,
is clear communication. Because I would agree, if I don't know your goal is to do this field and the next 40, then I don't have an incentive to know when I am done. If I think we're just going to run until midnight, I'm just going to run at the pace that I feel comfortable being at until midnight. If I know, however, that we only have 100 acres left, mm-hmm, for today, not for the, you know, for today, okay, I know, let's get done by 7, then we get out to a good meal. I like that, the communication part of productivity.
Naeem, do you ever set time limits to complete a task?
I do. And sometimes they're imposed upon you because, you know, it's like filing your tax return. That's imposed upon you. And that gets the adrenaline going and that gets people, you know, we are all competitive, or most of us are. So a short answer is yes, because that gets you going.
You had a good point. I didn't think about that. Sometimes we are more productive because deadlines that are put on us. So maybe if you're thinking about the productivity of your crew.
Yeah. That's why my bosses were like, inspector's coming at noon, you better be done. Yeah. They posed it.
You realize I call that setting artificial deadlines, even if none existed. People, if they give them a goal how high to jump, they will find a way if they're motivated to do so. Often, we want to be too polite. We are afraid to set a clear deadline. It's like, you know, do the best you can. That's no way to be efficient or meet a goal. Give them something to shoot at.
That's
your job.
I like that. So I get it all the time, Dave. How does so-and-so afford to trade combines every year? How does so-and-so have a new sprayer? You know, it's the nature of agriculture and farming to judge thy neighbor. And I'm just going to say it in that terminology. But could this be something that's taken down to a productivity level? You hit it right away in the beginning. Is it a bigger, faster, bigger machine that's allowing them to be more productive, potentially more efficient, and therefore allowing them better margins on their farming? Or is this whole calculation because they're a more productive individual? I don't know if I explained that clear enough. Is the machine helping them be more productive, or are they, as a more productive person, able to afford the new machine?
Good business breeds more good business, you know.
Well, I think so. More opportunity.
And more opportunity. You know, even on my small level, I upgraded to a bigger mower because it was taking me too long. And I'm like, this is taking way too long. I'd be way more efficient with a 15-foot bat wing instead of a 7-foot. I can mow it twice as fast and have time to play with my kids. But that costs money.
Yep.
So when is the juice worth the squeeze?
Okay. So Naeem, how about this topic on productivity, prioritizing? Do you have any tips that you use to prioritize things in your life and in business?
So I don't know if I have any magic secret trick to prioritize, but the fact that even asking that question, is it urgent or is it important? You guys mentioned that earlier, is a good starting point. If you'd never asked that question, you may not be as efficient as you believe you may be. So even asking that question allows me to prioritize in a way what must be done today, otherwise there's a consequence. Okay, let me make a list. And I really believe with all the electronics I have, I still like to write down a to-do list. I love crossing things off the to-do list. It gives me a sense of accomplishment.
Do you have any way that you, working in the office, Tanner, you might have a wage as well, but you've built a couple businesses, and I struggled with people walking into my office when I was trying to get stuff done, and I'm a talker, so I always wanted to accommodate them. Like, yeah, sit down, and 2 hours later, I didn't get my stuff done, but I wanted to find a way to kick them out politely.
So I've done the 3 techniques. First of all, I used to have a little sign called not now, which I'll hang behind my chair. So when that not now is there, something is up. Number 2, I'll pretend to say, gotta make my 1:30 meeting, love to talk to you. And I just pack up my stuff and leave and go to the other conference room. So I've done that too. Pretend to just exit. You gotta exit. And most people will be polite, say, hey, gotta go, love to talk to you, gotta go. So do that. But I think it's again setting the expectation. I've set usually in the beginning of the conversation, I got 7 minutes. I'm all yours.
Oh, setting. I like that.
I was just going to go there, Naeem. That's what I've done at the bank is obviously I enjoy talking. Hence, we're both on a podcast. We kind of like talking. But I have done that to where if my door's closed, then that's a me time. You know, I have something that I need to accomplish, a deadline. You can interrupt me if it's important. You know, the expectation that, yes, if we have to accomplish something, please, by all means. The second one I use is I always have my AirPods in, and it makes it easy to state that, oh, I'm on the phone. Whether it's factual or not, that's one way to avoid a conversation you know that is just social or not going to be productive is, nope, I got to take another call. And then I like the example that Naeem just shared of, I've got a meeting at 1:30. I got time to talk to you, but I have to be leaving at 1:30. So really, again, clear deadlines.
Yep. I always told people, that's where these AirPods are pretty nice. Just throw the AirPods in like, hey, I'd love to talk to you, but I'm working. So if you want to keep up, keep up. And then I just go and then they keep talking. But they know that I'm going to be on the move. Another person told me, stand up at the desk, Tanner. If you stand up, they'll feel uncomfortable until you sit down. I don't know if that's appropriate or not, but that's more office setting.
Yep.
And so we'll get back to farm here.
But I like that. And I would argue that probably the biggest battle that our listeners have is phone calls. And if it's a hired man that is calling to ask about directions to the elevator or directions to your field, but they're also the ones that want to ask, hey, did you see Coach Gruden got fired? Hey, did you see, you know, all these other things. Set that expectation right away that I've got other things to do, or fake, you know, fake is a bad word to say, but fake another phone call.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to go. I got to let you go. I'm moving on to the next one. But a lot of times, that device is probably hindering the productivity of listeners.
So, Naeem, I got a question for you. We're going to go down a different road because I see squirrels often. So I'm heading that direction. It just made me think when I thought guys sitting in the office versus guys that are out on the combine. And I heard a guy say to me once of more successful people were the people that were working on the business rather than in the business. We did a podcast on this a while back with your plumber neighbor. Have you seen that? So you've built a couple businesses. How much time do you spend as an entrepreneur working on the business? So creating the business, creating your employees, making sure that their benefits and their meals are done rather than just doing the blooming job. Do you have a good ratio?
No, short answer, I don't have a good ratio. But if I have to ask myself how much time is on building the business, it's probably at least 20%. And it's 20% because I'm efficient. If I was not efficient, it could be 40% easily.
Right.
So, you know, you delegate, you use tools. I run the whole company using 5 tools. I use a software tool for running the payroll. So I don't have to fill out one freaking form again.
Yep.
They
yep.
do all that stuff. And it's like, you know, $10 per employee per month or $8 per employee per month. Then I use a different tool for all the expense reporting and people who need to, you know, get paid or whatever. It's all online. I get it. I just approve, do not approve. It's all automatically dispersed.
Yep.
The third tool I use is to make bills. So all the bills company come to one thing. I can see all the bills. I can approve them, automatically paid. So if I've set up my life by using about 5-6 different tools, I have been able to be much more productive. It used to take me a day a week. Now it takes me 30 minutes a week.
So, Tanner, we talked about this, and Naeem, just to bring you up to speed, we've talked with all kinds of different people on what's working in ag, and we get all kinds of farm operation tools that are here to help that farmer be more productive. Might be new combine heads, might be tools like you're making with Telesense. I bet we've had 20, 30 of them on. And so all these different tools to make the business go faster and better, quicker, and more efficient and help you make money. Like you said, farmers are the ones that are the, well, I just really don't want to touch it until I know it works and I saw the neighbor use it and know it works. What advice do you have as an entrepreneur to our farmers to make them be more adaptive?
Well, I think they have to see the value. And if they're listening to your podcast, they're already in the top 10% of all farmers. So right now you're talking to an intelligent group here, because they figured out the podcast and the value. So it should not be hard to convince them. And when they start using some of these tools, and I'm happy to mention them by name and you have some, then they tell the neighbors. Thing about farmers is, what I found is that they're not competitive with each other in general. They are supportive and they'll share if something is working for them. In some other industries, that's not true. So that's a good thing. There's a camaraderie. There's something about sharing that what's working for me. So my feeling is, share, check, read what people, I go to Quora.com, Q-U-O-O-R-A, Quora.com or Reddit. This tells me what other people are talking. I can ask a question, hey guys, what's the best tools have you used for this thing?
Mm-hmm.
And people suggest. So I learn from that. So I spend at least 30 minutes every day reading on Quora.
Yeah, that's exactly, Dave, the home base of what's working in ag segments is yep. exactly what we heard in the coffee shops, the bars, the conversations that we've heard around. But the last thing, you hit on a word that I want to wrap up with. But before that, I want to remind people that also taking a break between tasks can be helpful. And a break can be defined a lot of different ways. This for me is sometimes just walking up, even though I've got water in my cup, this is me walking back and refilling my water cup. I got up from my desk. Driving truck this fall, for me, it's getting out, walking all the way around, kicking all the tires. You know, just something that is task that doesn't occupy a lot of brain space that allows you to be fresh to come back and work on the next thing. So if you're getting frustrated working on a piece of equipment during a repair, stop, walk across the yard, go back to another spot, clear your head. You'll have fresh energy when you come back.
Our farmers might argue drinking Busch Light is a good break.
Hey,
they might.
It might, you know, but that's just, if it helps refresh yourself and you can go back into it, boom, let's do it. But the word that Naeem hit on is delegate. And this is hard. I am a victim of not delegating. And I know that we have farmer listeners all over the place that are victims of not being able to delegate. So Naeem, you can't have built all these companies successfully all by yourself. So what tips do you have around delegation?
I think delegation is extremely important, because no matter how productive you may be, anything worthwhile is required a team of people. The thing about delegation is, I know I can do faster myself without having to explain somebody. But if you don't, then you're always doing it yourself. But if you can invest that little 1 or 2 hours, then hopefully the next time, and people always, good people surprise you. They'd even do it better. They figure out other better ways. So tricks are, be clear on what you want. What is success on the task means? Most people clearly articulate what will be great. If you are able to articulate, this will be, if you can do this, is good. If you can do that, that'll be great. You'll be surprised how often the delegation works well. Problem, when I see things not working well, I always blame the person trying to delegate, the manager. Were you clear on what you want? what's desirable, what's excellent, and by when. If you do that every time, you'll be surprised. Results will be better than you think.
He hit one of my bullet points of communicate clearly.
I agree. And so for me, we sell farmland, and I have a guy that I delegate my marketing to, and he does it. But guys that are design guys or more computer guys, to me, if you just tell them I'd like this done and you don't put in the email what day I need it done by, well, then it doesn't get done. Last night I did this, guys. If you're listening, I told my wife, we need the list of deliverables. So I made a whole new spreadsheet. Here is the list of deliverables. We put it in the email, and I said, I need it by this Friday at 5 o'clock. And the guy's already got it all to me today. He got it done because I said it would be great if it was before that, like you just said, which I was not doing until last night I did it. And I said, it would be fantastic if you could get this done. However, I know you probably can't get it done until Friday. Well, he wanted to hit fantastic, and he got it done today.
I'm trying now to think where that fits into the farm side.
I don't know.
You know, I'm thinking about my in-laws' operation right now. They have an individual that's dedicated to feeding cattle.
Yep.
And it is not a full 8-hour day to feed. There's a good 2-3-hour gap in the middle of the day between feedings to where this person could be extra productive. And I think they could go the route of saying it would be good if you could find tasks to do such as hauling manure or, you know, stashing fertilizer. But it'd be great if you could get 10 loads done a week.
That might be. I think I just figured it out. I think I'm solving this whole problem right here, right now, in front of everybody on the podcast. Our other podcast host, Corey, made me think of this. So Corey is working with his dad, and you just said it, Naeem, that sometimes your managers might even come up with a better way to do it. We as farmers struggle with letting our kids, as they come up, went to school, we sent them to school, they're supposed to be educated, they come up with all these new ideas, and we're like, nope, that's not the way we do it. I think the way we could do it best is by challenging our younger guys, okay, like Corey, and I think his dad's letting him do this, is tell you what, it'd be good if your way works, but it'd be really great if we saved this much money and your way worked. And so if his way worked, then it would be great, and we're going to keep doing it that way. If not, we're going back to the old way. So this might be our challenge for the day before we're even there, is challenge our farmers to look for that great opportunity.
The good and great.
Yep.
That was huge, Naeem. I don't know if you expected us to go off on that big of a tangent.
That was good.
I'm glad to hear that.
But I really like that. Now, I want to be respectful of your time, so we got to get ready to wrap up. A couple more things I just want to hit high level about delegation is we first need to decide what it is we're going to delegate. So is it going to be, like you said, payroll and bill paying and record keeping, or is it going to be the truck driving, the combine operation? Decide what task you're going to delegate first. Then pick the right person, because you have to be able to, this is where I struggle on the podcast side. I haven't found the right person to edit these shows. Mm-hmm. I've decided that that's something I want to delegate. I now need to seek out the right person to edit a podcast. For example, on the farm, if you want to delegate, like my in-laws, the feeding of the cattle, you need to find the right person to go feed cattle.
So, Naeem, I got to ask you this. As you built your company, so I'm very entrepreneurial as well, and I kind of like to do it all, but I don't have time to do it all. And so what I started to delegate was the stuff I least liked to do. And I started, the things that I kept in mind were the things that made me the happiest. So in my business, that was the auctioneering and booking the deal with the customer, getting to talk with the customer. But all the paperwork, all the contracts, cross the T's, dot the I's, I'm okay with it. I can build websites. I mean, all that stuff that needed to be done, but I pushed that off just because I stuck with the things I like to do. Is that the right way to do that? Or do you do the things you like to do or the things that you're best at?
Well, I think what you're saying is absolutely makes sense. The way I articulate that is you have to make a list on what's your core competence. All of us have something we are better at than other people. That's our core competence. So you can make a list, okay, my core competence is I'm extremely organized, then what are the things which require, which can use their skill? What skills I can get somebody else? So it's consistent with what you said. Knowing what are you good at and then be conscious about what to delegate you're not good at is a huge difference. Most people never make that list. They try to do everything and they get stuck with things they hate, and the things don't go well, then they blame everybody but themselves.
I see.
Huh. That's a good point.
Well,
the last thing I want to say before we summarize is along that delegation front, and we've said it a lot, communicate the expectations clearly. Good, great. You know, we went through that conversation, but then you still have to check in. You still have to follow up. Now, we don't want to be a helicopter mom and hang over them and watch them weld it back together or fix the sweeps or do something along those lines. But you also need to be able to provide feedback on if they did achieve great or fantastic or if they had some areas of improvement. So just remember that once you tell them to do it, your job's not done in the delegation fashion. You do need to keep up with that.
Might be able to tell them easier the stuff they did bad if you set their goals to start with. Yep. Of here's the level, here's the level, here's the level. And it's like, well, you didn't meet it. It's very clear. We talked about this before we started.
So before we summarize, Naeem, do you have anything else you want to add on the nature of productivity and managing our time well?
I think the last point you made is an important point, that people confuse management with micromanagement. And people say, oh, we hate micromanagers. Micromanagement is when you tell people how to do a certain task. But management, you cannot abdicate management. Giving somebody some task and asking them, what's your plan? How are you going to do it? How will you measure yourself? And then asking them, let's review what you have accomplished so far. That's management. That's not micromanagement. Don't abdicate that. So last point you made is very critical, that once you delegate somebody, it's perfectly reasonable to ask people, how are you planning to approach this thing? What will you measure? How do you know you have completed? And then asking them for a, you know, let's check in. Let's do a status report. That's good practice. That's not negative.
Very good. So the last question that we always ask every one of our guests, Naeem, is out of the most successful people that you know, what traits do they have in common? So be thinking about that while I try to summarize.
Okay.
And then, Dave, I'll have you do a second challenge. I know you already threw a challenge
at
him,
right?
but we're going to do a second one. So I'm going to summarize while you think about that. The most successful people that you know, Naeem, what do they all have in common? And then we'll also have you share your contact information again.
It could be me, myself, and I in your case, because you're pretty successful. So the most successful three people you know might be you. What do you have in common?
So today we talked about productivity, time management, delegation. We hit a lot of keys that hopefully can bring more time to your day. But think about doing the job right the first time. You know, that's the cliche, Dave, but quality as number one to make sure we get that. The benefits that you receive, stress relief, more time, gives you more opportunities, and allows you to reach those goals. Think about ways that you can set artificial deadlines. Maybe you need a not now sign for your office.
I like that.
Yeah, create that list that must be accomplished, whether it's at night before the next day or on Sunday before your week. Give yourself a half hour to really organize your mind. Work on making sure that everything you do gets towards what Naeem said is your effortless joy. Don't make this work, but give yourself a position to where you can enjoy what you do a lot more. Use some tools like Calendly or Doodle. I know there's plenty of others out there that help you organize your daily life because that's important. Think about how you prioritize your tasks between important and urgent. Is there a difference to you? Maybe there should be. Take a break between doing these tasks. And then when you are looking at delegating, make it very clear. Whether that's goals and instructions, the direction that you give, people want to do a good job most of the time. They don't want to disappoint you. So make sure your communication is extremely clear and then provide feedback as that task goes along to make sure that you have the right person doing the right task, Dave.
You bet. So now, Naeem, back to the question. I've been waiting the whole time because I was just, I want to ask it to you first. What is the number one thing that you know? So you live out in Silicon Valley, a lot of entrepreneurs. What are the most successful, a lot of successful people out there have in common?
Well, my answer may not be somewhat surprising. What I found among all the successful people I've met, they all have passion. They're passionate. This is an odd one. I'm not talking about passion about their work or farming. People who could be passionate about cooking, they could be passionate about beer. The passion, when you are passionate about one thing, you're usually passionate about many things. That passion drives you to accomplish things, and they're productive, they get stuff done. It's not an obvious one. You won't hear that from other people, but that's the common thread I've found in all these people I've met in my life.
Well, that's great.
I like what he just said. If you're passionate about one thing, it gives you the opportunity to be passionate about many others. I like that.
Yep. So I got a challenge for you. And so the first challenge we gave in this a couple minutes ago was to find out what's great on your farm and challenge you to be great and set that great expectation, because I don't think people do that. I just been thinking about that the whole time. I don't think people set, here's what great is. We just status quo. This is what everybody else does. Here's what everybody else does. It'd be good to get this much. If you want to kick butt and take names, here you go. Here's the level.
Yep.
The other one, out of all the things you read, as you were reading through the summary, the one that I have changed, and you mentioned it right as you came on the podcast, Naeem, is the road runs out. And the road runs out for farmers quite often, and they're going to pass away. And so prioritize what's important. And I've changed my mentality over the last year. We've already had this conversation. What is success? Is success making this many acres or this many bushel or this much money or these many new projects? Some of us geek out on doing more, 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 but what is important? Did you have time to go on your walk? Did you have time to do that? So the one that you said was prioritize wisely. I'm going to challenge everybody, whatever that means to you, prioritize wisely.
Start doing that. Well, Naeem, that was a lot of information in a short amount of time.
It was a lot of fun. You know, we did no prep for this, so this all came in real time, and that was great.
That's the way we like it, and I don't know if we can thank you enough for sharing your expertise. We are honored to have you on the Farm for Profit podcast. We thank you for taking an hour of your day and making this one of your priorities to share with our listeners ways that they can help make their farms a lot better.
Great to be with you guys. Really enjoyed it. Look forward to hearing for future episodes.
So that's Naeem Zafar from Telesense. So telesense.com. Go out there and learn about his product to help you when you store your grain. Listeners, if you have any topics just like the one we discussed today, please share that with us, farmforprofitllc@gmail.com. Like, rate, review, and share this podcast everywhere you go. And until next time, have a good one.
Remember, if you aren't farming for profit, you won't be farming for long.